Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, I thank you that it's all of you and none of me, Lord. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords, Lord God. Let something be said to encourage your people. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Jesus, you're welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. Lord God, we welcome your presence in this church, in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. And thank everybody for coming out today. And I tell you one thing, his presence is here. His presence is here. His presence is here. How many of you know that when you're in his presence, there's a peace that passes what? All understanding when you're in God's presence. Thank you for the ones that came. I thank you for the ones that we got on podcast, going to be listening, and the internet. We want the Holy Spirit to change your life through this word. And that you become a better person because you get to know Jesus. As you get to know Jesus and you come in contact with him, it should make you a better individual. His word is a two-edged sword. It should make you better. But today we're going to talk about something. We've been talking about a lot of things in the word about faith and staying connected to God. But today God gave me a sermon to talk about the danger of quitting too what soon. The danger of giving up just before you about to cross the finish line. The danger of stopping the process when God's going to do something for you. The biggest thing the devil wants you to do is what? Give up. He wants you to stop the process. He didn't want you to come to church this morning. He didn't want you to get up and get the word. He don't want you to finish the process. If you finish the process that God started in you, say this with me. I will never what? Quit. Say it. I will never quit. Say it again. I will what? Never quit. If you have the mindset that you know that God is with you in every aspect and you know that you will never quit, Satan wants you to quit the process of what God has in you. The biggest thing the devil is afraid of is the Christian who's what? Developed. I told you that. The devil is afraid of you when you began to get developed and grow in God and you use the weapons that God give you to be successful on this earth. He's afraid of that. He does not want you to finish the process. When you start to finish, the devil trying to get you to quit, he is afraid of a Christian who will get developed and conquer what's here on this what earth. The word says you're more than a conqueror. The word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So the devil does not want you to get developed. He don't want folks to hear this word that we're getting out. The technology that we're changing, not about us, so others can hear who Christ is and begin to change and have a mindset to never quit or give up the process. Never quit. If you're going through something and you feel sick in your body and the word said by his stripes you're healed, you don't quit what God's word says. You keep believing. You keep pushing. You keep going because a person that desires has a mindset like that, God can use them in the kingdom. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. You have to have a mindset of quitting too soon. The biggest thing the enemy going to try to get you to quit. Say, I can't do it. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Nothing wrong with getting tired, but you cannot quit the process. If you started a business, you cannot quit. Get up, fight. If you're not feeling it, get up, push. If you're in college, you got something you have to finish. You must keep going on with the process. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run, but also receive the prize. So run that you may obtain. And we know the scripture, I say the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but the ones that what endure to the end. What is it? It's something about you having endurance to keep winning and keep pushing. A person that refused, I like here how it says the race to run. I was seeing something the other day where I was watching something on the internet where this girl, she was the last one. And when they passed the baton, they was in last place. They was in last place. And as they passed her the baton, she took off and she ran all the way around that track. She was in last place. And by the time she got to the first one, they and overcame it. She became the first person in the race. It looked like she was behind when they passed her that baton. And she began to run. And she ran. And she got to running, and she ran, and she ran. And they were like, oh, my God, she's in second place. Oh, my God, she's in first place. Oh, my God, she did it. She did not quit. She's number one. But when they passed her the baton, she was in last place. With you as a born-again believer, I don't care what it looks like right now. With God on your side, you will win. There's never been in no situation where you read God's scriptures that God see failure. There's no failure in God. There's nothing but success in God. God had it, I'm saying, more scriptures, that more even, I think, Holy Spirit, is when he even died on the cross for our sins. God couldn't leave him in that state of mind or that process of living, standing in that grave. He had to raise him from the dead to let you know that he's that victorious. It doesn't matter what you may be going through. God has the ability to make things that look impossible, making them possible because he's Christ. I'm going to break this down. Go to Galatians 6 and 9. Remember that when you get with Christ, he makes things that look impossible what? Possible. Say it again. He makes things that look impossible. He makes them look what? Possible. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. You must have the mindset that you are not going to quit no matter what. You have winner in you. You have God living and dwelling in you. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in what? Well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. We shall reap if we what? Faint not. That word faint means to cave in and quit and stop the process. Say this with me. I will not faint. Say it again. I will not what? Faint. Faint means when you see somebody, when they hear bad information, then sometimes they faint and they fall out or something happens and they faint. But if you have a spirit within you, even if something you may go through, you have the ability to conquer whatever this world tries to bring your way. Don't think of God as a weak individual. Don't think of Christ as somebody that's weak. You have the strongest ability inside of you, living inside of you. The hope of glory, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, he's living and breathing on the inside of you. And what he wants to let you know, that whatever you may be going through, you have the ability to overcome it because you are more than a conqueror and you can overcome whatever comes your way. This is not the time to quit. The Lord put in my spirit, don't quit too soon. Don't quit the process that you're doing. Don't give up. Don't stop it. Keep going. Keep believing. Keep pushing on. Because God has a plan for your life. And the devil don't want you. He does not want you to get developed. You can't faint now. You can't back off now. You get up and you fight more. The word said, fight the good fight of faith. The word says, get up and fight in the word and do what you have to do. If you have that mindset, whatever you go to, you won't quit. It's the ones who quit in the mind. Say, I can't do it anymore. I give up. I didn't say don't rest. Nothing wrong with resting. I didn't say gather your strength. Nothing wrong with not gathering your strength. But when you quit, once God has started something, finish it. Whatever it may be. If you're in college and you got another year to go or 3 months to go and you're thinking about quitting, this is not the time to quit. Get back up and finish and get your degree. This is not the time to quit if you're something in sports and you got a few more things you need to do and you say, I want to quit, I'm tired. That's the opposite of winning, quitting. You're not a quitter. You are a winner. Everything that Jesus touched, Christ means the anointed one. It means the Messiah. Everything that Jesus came in contact with, what did he do out of it? He made it become winnable. That's a word. That's my word. He made it become winnable. He made it become a winning situation. When Christ showed up, when somebody was blind, what did Jesus do? He made them see again. If somebody was sick, then they had ever would have when they had the issue of blood, when they came and touched Jesus, he said, something came out of me. What did he do? He gave her hope. What if she quit? What if she had given up and said, I can't go on. I can't get up. I feel sick. I'm down. I'm weary. I didn't say nothing wrong with going through, but have a mindset that if I got God in me, I won't quit. Whatever God starts in me, I will keep pushing and I will keep going and I will become greater in God's kingdom. Because God is looking. Notice he said the scripture we just read, the race is not given to the swift, not to the strong, but the ones that endure. Endurance is means hardened like steel. One say, I refuse to quit God. I don't never, what, somebody said, well, I'm part of a church and they hurt me. That don't mean God don't love you. It's because you saw something in church that you may have didn't like. That don't mean God ain't real. That don't mean God don't want to love you. God still loves you. Keep in your mind that something got wrong. So one of the things of you never quitting is to know that God still loves you. No matter what. You don't know what I did. God still loves you. No matter what. You know that God still loves you. And if you start having that mindset that God still loves me and perfect love casts out all fear, I will never quit because I know there's a heavenly audience watching over me because I know he loves me. And when you have that mindset to know that God loves you, you have a strength that comes from heaven, that comes from above, that gives you supernatural ability to overcome things that the average person may have quit. At this time, if you don't know Christ, if you not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are missing out on eternal success. Eternal success is heaven, yes. But you can also have heaven on earth that God can speak to you here on earth. And you could be going through something that looks major. You could be going through things that the doctor said, I don't know what else to do. I've done all I can do for you. I did everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do. Now you have to have a faith in God to say, God, now I have to trust you. You can't quit on you. Believe in God. Believe that God wants you to be successful in every aspect. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Some more scripture I'm going to store. I want you to see. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You are a winner in God. Well, somebody say, why do you know I'm a winner? I don't feel like a winner. The fact that you're still living and still breathing. That all the things you've been through, you're still alive and you're still here. God got something for you bigger than what you can have, bigger than what you can see. But the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. He is to make you think that you can't go on no more. It is over. It's not time for a pity party. When you get into pity, you are allowing the enemy to come in. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When I read the scripture, I say, how can he perform it? Until he wants to perform it in you. He wants to see once God does it in you, what does that do for you? It builds up your what? Faith. Once you see God do something that you believe for, once you see God raise you up and it looked like it was over, what does that do for you? It performs in you. And you start to say, if God did that for me, then God can do that for me. And I believe what God's word says, and I never give up. I never stop believing. When you have that mindset, now you have the mindset of Christ. There is a mindset that you can get that comes from God, that I have a mindset in you that you in this world, you can't never see yourself defeated. Even when it's time for physical death. Although I'm not speaking it over nobody's life, but when it's time for you to leave this place, the Bible says, oh, death, where's your sting? Because now you're going to a place that God created for his people, which is heaven, when you committed to God here on earth. But I'm not speaking death over nobody. I'm speaking now is the time to not quit. Now is the time to keep going. Now is the time when you may have lost loved one to this COVID and you don't quite understand everything. You may have lost a job. You don't quite understand everything. Put it in your mindset that I will never quit God. No matter what. If you think about the story of Job, the main thing when Job went through all of that stuff, lost his kids went through that. He had boils on his body. And his wife said, why don't you just quit God and die, Joseph? Give up God, Job. And Job looked at it and said, you talk like a foolish woman. In other words, Job knew, had him intangible on the inside of him to say, I can't quit God because I have experienced him for myself. Why would you quit the very person that created you? He created you to create, to have dominion on this earth as a born again believer. He created you to have success on this earth as a born again believer. The word says trials and tribulation will come, but be ye of what good cheer. I have overcome the troubles of the world. I have overcome every trouble. But you have to believe that God is in you, that you have the ability to come over every trouble that ever comes your way, because you have the one that can trouble the trouble inside of you. Glory to God. You have the one that can trouble the trouble on the inside of you. Whatever trouble comes my way, I believe I have the one that can trouble the trouble. I have God in me. You got God in you. He got the ability to overcome you, whatever come that, whatever way it comes. The Bible say, great is he in 1 John 4:4. Is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Greater is he. Somebody say, well, what's in the world? The world don't mean, like I said, worldliness don't mean somebody not wearing makeup. That's not worldly. Or somebody going around looking, some folk need makeup. I'm not saying that. Worldly means when you believe more what the world says instead of what God's word says. When you start saying God's word says, by his stripes I'm healed. When you start saying that, I remember when this COVID thing first hit and everybody was saying all the stuff about COVID, and I was concerned because I was around coworkers and folks had got the virus, and folks were saying this, and fear was trying to overcome me. I said, God, I can't walk in fear and faith combined. I can't have that contamination in my spirit. I have to believe what your word says about me. And I began to confess the word that by stripes I'm healed. And as I started singing that, a song came in my spirit. And I started saying, no corona coming in my house. You ain't gonna touch my kid. You ain't gonna touch my spouse. No corona. I started saying that, but in my spirit, I couldn't see myself defeated. Even though it's just a song, you say, when you read the scriptures, your inner image on what God says about you, you must believe from the inside on what God says about you. That's what makes you win. It's outside, yeah, you take care of it, do all that. But your inside, your inner man. And I start singing that corona, and I could not see. Because the devil was trying to put fear in me. I'd be home, I'd cough for some. Oh, there go the corona. You got a headache. Oh, Lord. All the negative stuff trying to come your way. You have to realize that greater is he that's within you. That's he that's within the world. Even this sickness that's coming now, you are greater than that. You must believe in that. I didn't say not wear your mask, wear it and abide by the lands of the law. But you still must have an inner connection first to God that said, God, I believe what your word says. And no matter what the world's going on, I believe what your word says. And because I believe that, I'm a believer. I overcome whatever comes in the world. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. There's an ability of God in you that's greater than what you can imagine or think. His greatness. You have greatness within you. Say it with me. I have greatness in me. I say it again. I have what? Greatness within me. There's a great, God is the greatest ability of all abilities that ever existed. If you realize that, any other religion out there, only one I studied, the only one I know, all the other stuff I studied when I was searching as a young man, Jesus is the only one I know that rose from the dead and conquered death. No other man done that did I study when I was trying to find myself as a young man. I said, Jesus is the only one I know that died on the cross and came back. That's a powerful man that he conquered death. If he can conquer death and overcome death, what is it that he couldn't do for you? He conquered death. He went down and you studied out. He went down and took the keys from the devil and snatched the keys from him. He conquered death. He conquered death spiritually. He conquered death and came back, rose from the dead and came back and walked to earth and went back to heaven. No other person, I don't care what religion you come at me with, no other body I read has done that. That's what makes him powerful than any other religion. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Jesus setting you free. He has that ability. I want you to think of Jesus as a powerful person. Get the image out of your mind of this person that you see on the movies. He just walked around and he was this guy and high and floating. How you doing? I'm Jesus and floating. Jesus was a man of power. Even if you read his stature in the physical, Jesus, when he was on earth, he was a what? Carpenter. His job, he worked with his hand. He had a physical stance about him. He was a man in shape. He was a man of stance, of valor. So when they saw him, they said, Jesus. He wasn't like, hi, I'm Jesus. And hands all soft like baby are. He was a man of stance. And when they met him, they said, that's you. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? I'm Jesus. They're like, man, that's Jesus? That's Jesus. Wow. He had valor, statue about him. He had character about him. He had value about him. He had standards about him. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. In your image of Christ, think of him as the strongest man that walked the face of the earth. In every ability, he was the strongest man, spiritually, physically. He was the strongest man you could think of. Every way possible, Jesus is the one that can set you free. He can heal. Whew. He can conquer death. He can conquer sickness. He can conquer the COVID. He can conquer whatever come your way. But do you believe that he can do it? I just simply, when I read the scriptures, I choose to believe what his word says. So you can have people who are believers and some people who just go to church for the format to say, I've been to church, to check off my list that I've been to church. But did you meet Christ when you was at church? I always tell folks the biggest thing when it comes to church, I believe you should go to church, but I believe you should go to church where Christ is there. If you're going to church and you have not changed, I'm going to say this and I mean when I say it too. If you're going to church and you haven't changed, you haven't met Christ. But if you're going to church and you're starting to change internally, things you used to do that was wrong don't taste the same no more. You go, something. Can't do that no more. Why? I don't know what it is. It's because you're beginning to change. And when you come to a church and you began to change, then you've met Christ, because now you're beginning to change internally. You don't want to do what you were doing wrong no more. That's evidence that Christ is real. Evidence that Christ is real. When a man comes in contact or a woman comes in contact with Christ, and the old nature is cast away and a new nature comes in, that's evidence that Christ is what has moved on the inside of you. That's, he gets rid of that sin nature and brings in the Christ nature and brings in the righteous nature. That those things you used to do, you say, I just can't, I don't know what's wrong. I can't, because your inner person, you've changed. Your spirit has changed. Somebody, how do you know if I'm really saved or not? The devil will torment you. When you used to do things that was wrong and your spirit don't want to do them no more, that's change. I know some of y'all young men, when you hear a song and say, well, I looked at my hands look new, and looked at my feet, and them feet did do. Your hands and your feet ain't gonna change. But your internal spirit begins to change. And you start saying, I don't wanna do that no more. What's wrong with you? Because that changing nature, when Christ comes, that's why this church means life changing. When you come in contact with Christ, he begins to change you. He can, and then I just believe that anybody who really chooses to get to know Christ for themselves, he can change anything if you're willing to give it up to him. If you're willing to admit it's wrong. Don't make excuses for things that are wrong. You do have to pay the piper for one day for the wrong things that you do. Don't make no more excuses. Say, God, this is wrong. I need you to help me give it up. I need to get rid of it. No more excuses, Lord. I want to serve you more. I want to get to know you more. That's evidence that Christ is in you, because the wrong that you, when you line up with God's word and you realize it's wrong, your spirit says that ain't right. I can't do that no more. I don't want to do that no more, Lord. Why? Because I fear you, God. I want to have a relationship with you. And that relationship relating to the ship, when you will grow in God. And the more, that's why the devil don't, he wants you to quit. He wants you to stop, because he's afraid of a Christian who knows who they are. I like movies. I like the movie Matrix. Remember Matrix? Some of y'all remember Matrix. And they had a part on Matrix when Keanu Reeves finally knew who he was, and the agents was coming at him, and he just thought. And Lawrence Fishburne said, huh, he realizing and knows who he is. See, as a Christian, the agents could be enemies. It's just a movie. But you start knowing who you are, and certain things that don't bother you, that used to bother the average person, you start saying, oh, that don't bother me. I trust God. You don't know what I'm going through. I trust God. When you start knowing who you are, knowing the faith and ability that you have in Christ. Go to Genesis chapter 39. Let me show you something. I want to show you something that the importance of you keeping your faith up. You keeping your mindset up to never quit. Your mindset up that you're going to serve Jesus until the day I die. I'm never going to give up Jesus. Just say it. I never give him up. You don't know what I never give him up. That's just to make sense to me now. When I hear the old folks say, in the bloodstained banner for my Lord, I mean bloodstained banner. I mean I ain't never giving up. I seen stuff happen. I never stop. But I wanted to hit on this story, and I got two more stories here. Genesis chapter 39. We're talking about the story of Joseph. And I want you to see that Joseph, if we know the story more with Joseph, that Joseph was a man that had a dream. And Joseph had a dream, and when his dream, he told all his brothers about what the dream that he had. A lot of them, out of jealousy, they sold Joseph into slavery. And Joseph, being in slavery, I'm going to show you here, brought him to a point that Joseph was doing things as a slave. I'm going to read verse 1 on down, and so I'm getting it to this point. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. I mean, he was brought to slavery. And Potiphar's office, and Pharaoh, the captain guard of Egyptians, bought him of the land of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did do to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass for the time that he had made him overseer in his house, that over all he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house and for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he did in the house and in the field. I stopped there for a minute. No, when you stick with God, when you make a decision that as a man or a woman of God that you refuse to quit, you will go places and people will know that God is what? With you. When you make a decision that I'm never going to quit on God, people will know that God is with you. People will know that God is walking and abiding with you. How this story, Joseph, is so powerful to me that all the things, and I want you to read Genesis 39 later on, but and I'll read the whole chapter of Joseph. All the things that Joseph went through, what Joseph refused to do, he refused to quit. Joseph went through all type things in life. Joseph was serving his master. And if you read this story here, his master's wife lied on him. Said, Joseph tried to sleep with me. Joseph said, I didn't know such a thing. I wouldn't do that to him. First my master, or to God, to my master, or to you. And the lie was told that Joseph did something ungodly as a godly man. And Joseph was thrown in prison for something that he did not commit. And while Joseph was in the prison, you know the story, I want you to read it. While Joseph was in the prison, that's when the baker and the butler came to Joseph. And they told him their dreams. And when they told Joseph their dreams, Joseph interpreted their dreams. He interpreted their dreams and told one you're going to go back to the king's palace, and the other one you're going to get hung and you're going to die. But what I was kicking at was that when Joseph was thrown in prison, first of all, he was thrown in prison. He was thrown in a prison from his brother selling him into slavery. Think of his mindset. Joseph could have had a mindset to quit then, couldn't he? When Joseph was thrown in slavery by his brother, he could say, Mom, my brother threw me into slavery. I ain't doing nothing. Leave me alone. I ain't working no more. Get that slave. I ain't doing nothing. I quit. But somewhere in Joseph's mind, he said, okay, they throw me here. I don't like it. It's wrong, but I'm going to do my work as unto the Lord. And when he was thrown into prison, he did everything unto the Lord. And he said, the people saw that Joseph was with him. I mean, that God was with Joseph. Now, in your life, see, Joseph, what I'm impressed by, Joseph could have quit. Joseph could have gave up. Joseph could have took his life. Joseph could have did anything. But somewhere Joseph had the dream. He had an intangible in him that God told him a dream. So in this, he said, okay, I don't like the situation. I'm still going to do it as unto the Lord. Joseph doing it unto the Lord. Another bump come up. Wife lies on him. He tried to touch me. Joseph, I didn't try to do no such thing. And the man takes him and throws him in jail. While he's in there, Joseph could have went in and heard the dreams. You know he had to give. Guess what Joseph could have did? I ain't serving no dream. I ain't studying them. They all just die. I'm just in the corner. Joseph said, no. Hey, man, I got a gift from God. What? I'm going to interpret your dream for you. He tells him the dream, and it comes to pass. And if you read the scriptures later on, it was like 2 years later that Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could interpret it. Nobody could interpret the dream. And the guy that he had told, you going back to the king's house, he said, oh, I remember a guy. I remember a guy. Oh, yeah, Joseph. He interprets dreams. Go and get Joseph. And I was watching the cartoon the other day, and Pharaoh, when he went and got Joseph, Potiphar, when he got Joseph, Joseph had already a forgiving spirit when he saw the man that placed him in jail. He had a forgiving spirit. He said, hey, it's good to see you, master. And the master was like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I am so sorry. But somewhere or another, he had a spirit, another way, a form of never quitting. Always believe that God loves you. Make your mindset to never quit. And also, when those that hurt you, because you, when you live, people are going to hurt you. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen. Loved ones are going to hurt you. It's part of life. But make a decision that if I have that decision, that no matter what, I know God loves me and I know God didn't do it to me. I know one time I was going through something and I was mad at people. The people that had done this had lied on me, said this, and I called for prayer. An old lady got on the line and she tapped into the spirit. She said, baby, God ain't done nothing. It's just people and circumstances. One way of you never quitting God is keep knowing that I like what Joseph did. Joseph never blamed God. He kept pushing and kept going on. Now, if you read the story more, once Joseph interpreted the dream, he interpreted the dream, and then he interpreted, eventually, he interprets Potiphar's dream. Pharaoh's dream, I'm sorry. And once he interpreted that dream, where did that take Joseph? It put him what? Second in command, right? You must have a spirit as that you will never, ever quit on God, no matter what. You'll never give up on life. No matter what, with the story with Joseph, if Joseph would have quit and got a bad attitude, would he have won? No. You must keep pushing. You must keep forgiving. You must keep living. You must keep achieving. Because if you have that mindset like Joseph had, success is still knocking at your door. A person who talks defeated, life is rough. Everybody get tired. Everybody get frustrated. That's part of it. But if you have the mindset to know that God loved me, I love myself, and whatever I go through, if I'm still living, I'm going to keep pushing, and I refuse to quit, you will overcome whatever comes your way. Say it with me. I am an overcomer. So when you have that mindset to say, I am an overcomer, whatever comes your way, you can't see yourself defeated. I'm amazed when I see stuff on, I like to watch stuff about, you know, on YouTube about folks winning. And I can see somebody who have passed, what you call it, the legs, where they ain't got no legs and they running on, what you call it? Prosthesis legs. And I seen one guy you could see in the wheelchair about giving up. One guy had no legs, he had legs like blades and he was running on a treadmill, running around the track. I said, God, look at his mindset. He ain't got no legs, but he got legs like blades and running with everybody else. Hey, man, how you doing? He's running around the track with blades on his legs. I said, God. His mindset to say, I don't care what happened. I refuse to quit. I ain't going to give up. Give me them legs. Let me run around the track. It hurt a little bit, but I'm going to do it. His mindset said, I will never quit no matter what. And that's how you got to be as a Christian in this world. You have a winning, conquering spirit in you. Joseph had that mindset that he wasn't going to quit. Joseph had to hold on to the promises of what God did, told him. His brothers betrayed him. The lady that he was close to in the house lied on him. But some way or another, Joseph stayed connected to what God told him was going to happen in his life. Did it happen? Sometimes when you're standing on something, it don't happen right away. Keep believing. Sometimes when you don't see it, when you think it should happen right away, keep believing. No matter what, just keep having the faith that God is with you. Somebody say, I confess healing and I still feel sick. Keep confessing what God's word says about you. You must continue to feed your spirit constantly. A person who has that mindset not to do that, to keep going on. Go to, before I hit the thing about Jesus, go to Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. Joseph, Hebrews 11 and 6. So you must have the mindset that you won't quit no matter what. Mindset that God is with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. He does not want to see you fail. He wants to see you win. Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently what? Seek him. But without faith, it's impossible. So guess what? What do you need to have with God to keep going? It's to have the faith that God loves you and that he wants to do things for you. One thing that keeps you from never quitting, giving up too soon, is having the faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder that what? Diligently what? Seek him. Diligently means constantly doing it, even when you don't feel like it. In the natural, sometimes when somebody get up to work out, do they always feel like working out? No. 5 o'clock, oh, in the natural, a lot of times we don't feel like going to work. Oh, I don't want to get up. But it's something about a diligent person. Diligently seek him. Diligently keep going. Diligently not quitting. Diligently saying, I'm going to stick with God. Diligently saying, I'm going to finish this program. Diligently is something about diligence. Consistency. Diligence, consistency. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep pushing. Keep getting results. And when you can do that, God said, here he is a rewarder. That we just said, of those that were diligently. When you don't feel like, I don't feel like getting up praying this morning. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I know sometimes we know we're human. That's the human side of us. But it's something in me because God has done so much for me and still doing. I say, I got to keep serving God no matter what. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to keep serving God. And every time, God always provide a way. Amen? Because you got to have the mindset that if I stick diligently in the natural, if somebody diligently works out, they see natural results. A diligent person that continually to go to the gym or get up, they start seeing the results of the natural in the physical body, which is good. We need that. We need diligent ones, and you need to take care diligently. If you study something and you study all what you're supposed to study and you go on that test and you pass the test, it's because you put your due diligence in. I'm amazed at that when people know that. But I say spiritually, what are you doing diligently for your spirit? Y'all know that script at church I've been teaching for a while. A man has a soul, he has a spirit, and he lives in the physical body. A lot of times we do the physical body, we exercise, and we feed our soul, and we read books, and we do all the movies. But what about your spirit? They're lacking. I don't know what's wrong with me. Doctor, can you give me, doctor, what's wrong? Am I feeding my spirit? Because a woman or a man that feeds their spirit, I told you, if I would take your spirit out your body right now and snatch out your spirit, I will see who you are spiritually. That means you could be a man 6-7 feet tall, and I snatch your spirit out, and they go, me, 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 little midget. You like, oh. But you could be 5 feet tall, and I pull your spirit out, and I go, whoa, this man is a spiritual, or this woman is a spiritual giant within. If you have a fed, strong spirit, how can this world conquer you? It can't. But if you have a weak spirit, when the world comes with trouble and trials and tribulations, those things will conquer you and try to bring you down. Now, the last story I want to share with you guys, go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We have to say amen. Verse 39. And I'm gonna read this. Then I'm gonna explain it. It says Matthew 26, verse 39. It says, and he went a little farther. You know what? I'm gonna read on up to 36. 36 on up. Then comes Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and says unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowfully and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but thy wilt. And when he cometh unto the, unto the disciples and findeth them what? Asleep. And Peter said, and said unto Peter, what, could you not pray with me for an hour, man? Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. That's another sermon, but I'm not going to that. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he is the hand that doeth betray me. Now, I want you to see something here. What did Jesus do in this scripture that was so powerful that I read? The revelation that came out to me that Jesus, he did not want to do, he wanted to quit, right? He said, oh, Lord, I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to die on the cross. Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, I know we talked about it in heaven. I know you sent me down here to do it, but I don't want to do it, Lord. Peter, look at man, y'all need to pray for me because this is tough. They want me to die on the cross. Man, I want y'all, Peter, pray. I need your help. And we got you, man. We got you, Jesus. We want to pray for you. I know it's tough for you right now. So they say, all right, he said, I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna pray. Y'all got my back? Yeah. They go up and pray. Then they come back down. Peter no. Peter, man. Lord, we tried, we just tired, Lord. We willing to do it, but we just tired. So I said, man, can y'all do the one more thing? Okay, I need y'all to pray. Go back up, come back down. Lord, we trying, but we just sleeping, man. Just tired. We walked way up here to Garden of Gethsemane. My feet hurt and everything. But what was amazing to me in this scripture here, Jesus had to get to a point that he could not expect from man what he could only get from what? God. Pretty soon, Jesus came back down. He said, okay, they sleep again. He said, all right, y'all, you know what? Sleep on. Go sleep. Jesus, we tried, Lord, we tried. He had to go connect to God and say, all right, God, I need strength from you to help me do something in my own strength I don't want to do. One thing that's going to help you not quit is don't depend on people to give you strength, that when you can only get strength from God to make it happen. He didn't want to do it. Lord, I don't want to do this. I know we discussed it. I know the plan that you told me, but I'm tired of my own ability. Oh, Lord, please, Lord. Y'all pray for me, Peter. Give up. And finally, God, Jesus went to God. And he said, and when he said, okay, y'all sleep on. Now I have to go to my Father. Oh boy, to give me strength to help me do something in my own ability. I don't know what to do. I said it for a reason. The one that's going to keep you strong during this time or when you're working on something, don't expect people to always give you strength. Because you can go to them sometimes and say, man, I'm tired of it. Why don't you just quit? It's just too hard anyway. I tried to do that before. It's too hard. Wait a minute. God didn't tell you to quit. Go to the other person. Man, what you think? All this, but if you have a consistent connection with God, God will give you strength when man can't give you what you're looking for, right? Jesus was looking for Peter to say, hey, I got you. Jesus, I got you. Peter didn't pray. He was tired. I'm tired. Jesus had to go to God and get that strength. I always say this. It's something I live by. People are fickle. God is what? Consistent. Sometimes people can... And that don't mean they don't love you. Peter, you know, Peter had a great love for God, for Jesus, but he was, sometimes they could be fickle. They may not give you the right word. They might say the right thing, and you was, your expectation is more on them than you have expectation on God. It's something I live by. I appreciate what people do, but I expect nothing from no man. I expect from God. When somebody do something, you say, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing that. Because people can let you down. And they don't mean to because they're human. They're people. But I like here what this one connection of you're not quitting life or quitting on God or quitting on yourself if you have a connection with the Father. Now the prayer makes more sense when it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus said, hey, Lord, I can't do this in my own ability no more. I don't want to do that. I know all of it. I know they got to come get me and crucify me and stick me in my side and whip me and do all this. I don't want to do it. Lord, no, I don't want to do it. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do it. Lord, help me, Jesus. And I know when he had to talk to God, God had to give him some insight. To say, you're not doing this in your own ability. And you're not doing this just for you. You're doing this for mankind. You're doing this so folks can be through you, get to know me that we talked about. So I'm going to give you strength from heaven to help you get through this situation. And when you get that strength, you'll be able to endure like a soldier because you got that strength from God. That's for me. There is a strength that can only come from God that you can get that can make you endure like a soldier. The strength in you and you say, how did I overcome that? How did I win that? That came from God. That's what Jesus had to do. He got that strength from God and he was able to say, okay, all right, let's do it. Y'all come get me. Come on, get him, take him, whip him, do all of that, put him through all of that. Whip him and cat of nine tails and by stripes, all that stuff. But he had to have some kind of connection with God to say, all right, God, in my own flesh, I can't do this. But with God, I can do all things through Christ who what strengthens me. I ain't just talking. There's a strength that I've got that I can spend time with God and he can give you a strength to overcome something. You say, how did I make it out of that situation? How am I going to do this? God can give you a strength that can supersede your natural ability. And once he gives you that strength to overcome whatever could be coming your way. Mothers, you could have a child in a situation and you don't know what to do. You're like, I did everything I know to do in my own strength. Sometimes you got to cast your care on him for he cares for you and say, God, I give it to you. God, you work this out. God, give me strength that you can give me that strength. And when he starts giving you that strength, it gives you confidence that know that God is with you. It gives you confidence that know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end and everything in between. You have to have your own relationship with God. When you can have that relationship with God, that's the most history you can make. See, I'm going to get ready to end it. History. It's Black History Month. What history are you leaving in heaven in God? That's your relationship with God. My mom's in a better place. She died when I was 14, but her history as a godly woman can never be taken from me. Last thing my mama said at 14 was, she said, I see Jesus, baby. And while she had that stuff that was affecting her, which was cancer, she raised her hands and said, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to go, Lord. I'm ready. And at the time, I couldn't understand at a 14-year-old boy. How could my mama leave me, Lord? But now I understand her history was, I have a relationship with Jesus. And she called on Jesus as he came and took her. That's powerful. You want to be to the point that you can call on Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help. And he shows up and makes a way. He says, that's what makes you not quit. Strength that comes from God. That comes from God. There's a strength that you can, this tangible, internal. You can get it. Joseph had to have that strength. Jesus had to have that strength. You have to have that strength. There's a strength that can come from God that when everybody else is saying this, you heard from what God says about the situation. And he can and will provide a way of what? Escape. He can't fail. Never. We sang the song that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. That song, Jehovah Jireh. Never seen him fail. Never seen him get. Never seen him. You have to see. I can't see failure in God. Don't let the devil make you doubt. He make you doubt and have unbelief. You start saying, oh, no way, God ain't real. You don't know how. No. Believe what his word says. So let God finish the process in you. Winners don't quit. They keep pushing. No matter what. But I'm going to say this to you. You can't do it in your own strength. Yeah, you could be physically fit. I'm strong, man. I can lift 400 pounds. Man, I know all kind of martial arts. But there's a strength that only can come from God, too. You can have all the physical strength, which is nothing wrong with it, but there's a spiritual strength that you need that come from God that rise you up and bring you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And one way is that is the light is when you don't know what to do, God can give you an answer to the problem. And you say, how did I make it out of that? He gave you light in darkness. He gave you answers to the problem. Church, it ain't, as this church grows, when people come, I pray that they have an encounter with Christ. That they get to know him for themselves. And as they get to know him for themselves, that encounter brings change, but it also brings answers. Bring answers to every aspect. So you got to say there is no defeat in Jesus. There's no defeat in God. If you're with him in every aspect, he will provide a way of escape. If you look up the names in the Bible when you study it out, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, Jehovah Elohim, my creator. When he said those names, when Moses said, he said, who should they say that I am? Who should I say sent me? Who should I say was it? He said, say Jehovah Jireh. What do you mean? He said, because I'm letting you know whatever you need, I'm that. I am that I am. What do you mean, God? I am that I am. Because whatever you need, I'm that. What do you mean? Jehovah Jireh, I'm sick. I'm your provider. I can. Jehovah Rapha, I'm your healer. So he said, say I am that I am. Say you am that. What do you mean you am that? You am that I am. Whatever you say, that whatever is needed, I'm that. I'm sick, Lord Jehovah Rapha, I'm your healer. Lord, I need something in my finances fixed. Jehovah Jireh, I'm your provider. I'm that. I am whatever you need, I'm that. And once you start seeing God is that, he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, Jehovah Elohim, my creator. He's that. Whatever he says, he's that. So he can't fail me no kind of way because he's God. He's in control. He got everything. My God. And once you start seeing that, you say, how can I fail when I got winning within me? You can't fail because you have a winning spirit within you. If Jesus and conquer death. And if you read the book of Corinthians, don't give it a go. That same spirit that conquered death is in you. It raised Jesus up from the dead. And when you start seeing that mindset, the winning mindset that I have, I can't see defeat. No matter what. I see myself winning, not in Mitchell's own ability, but in God's ability in me. And when you start seeing that, thank you. When you start seeing that God's ability is in you, that Jesus wants to give you the answer. He has the answer to the problem. He is the one that can do whatever you need to do. And what's so amazing with Jesus, he know how to how would I say it, tailor it to each individual. For you, for me, that's why he's God. Everybody, all the millions and billions of people in the world, God can know how to tailor it, fit it for you, just for you. Just say, just for you, what you need to do. He know how to tailor fit it just for you to tell you you won't be all right. To tell you you're going to make it. So this sermon, even though we're talking, whatever you may be going through, don't let the devil make you quit. Last scripture, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Quitting is not an option. Winning is. Hebrews 10:38. It says, now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now we can read on in with faith, but it says, now faith is the subject of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We know scriptures about faith. But I like how it says here, God, we're not one of those that draw back, quit, cave in, give up. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. You're not one that quits. You're one that pushes and wins and keeps going on in God. Keep pushing for your goals. Keep pushing for what God wants. Don't have the mindset to give up. Have the mindset to say, with God on my side, I am going to win. Amen? I'm going to win. Woo, God. I challenge you this week. Spend time in this word. Make time before you get up and go to school. If it's just 15 minutes before you get up and go to work, if it's just, make time to put his word in you. You know, a lot of times, especially now, Psalm 91 is my vaccine. So I read it every day. Every morning I put it in my spirit to say, okay, if something comes, I believe 1,000 shall fall by thy side, but 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I have to do it because what the negativity I see in the world right now can be affecting us. So we must have the faith to believe and keep going, to never quit. Amen.